Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that's our desire tonight, Lord, that your Spirit will come among us, Lord, and Lord, not asking that it will, but Lord, we know it's here now, as the brother said, Lord, the sweetness is here, Lord, your presence is here, Lord, and as we begin the ministry, Lord, we turn ourselves over to your service. We know, Lord, that as a fleshly man, we have nothing, Lord, we could bring nothing that would be edifying to the kingdom, Lord, but only you can speak to us, Lord. Only you can deliver us. Only you can give us revelation tonight, Lord. And Lord, as we begin to minister, Lord, we ask that you just move the nervousness away, Lord, that you'll move the man aside, Lord, and not let the flesh hinder you, Lord, but that you'll come and speak in a great way tonight, Lord. And Lord, those that are listening, that will listen later or listening even now, Lord, that same anointing will rest upon them, Lord, that you'll speak to them in a great way, Lord, that you'll touch their hearts, Lord, and you'll move them in the revelation, Lord, and you'll show them their position, Lord, and who they are and why they were even here on the face of this earth at this time and in this age, Lord. Lord, we love you so much, Lord. We appreciate the opportunity to come together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord. We see the many different faces here tonight, Lord. We appreciate it so much, Lord. We love each and every one of them, Lord, for we believe that each and every one of them, Lord, is your child of God, Lord. We appreciate it, Lord. And Lord, we turn ourselves into your service just now. Give us grace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see each one of you tonight. I apologize that I'm the one up here. The Lord is good to us, and we're nothing in the flesh. We're just vessels that God can use that are dedicated. And so, Brother Don called me a little bit this afternoon and very nicely reminded me that I had 4 hours. And I said, yeah, I know exactly how many hours and minutes I have. So just a little talk in between. Well, I'm not a minister. Anyway, our subject tonight is what is revelation? And we know that revelation is faith. Faith is revelation. It's absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. Revelation is also life. Revelation is life. It's His Word revealed to you, and He manifests it through you. You begin to move. You begin to breathe. You begin to talk. Everything about you, the brother Don hit a while ago, everything about you, when you become a child of God, and He begins to minister to you, and He begins to give you the revelation, every part of you is different. Yes. That veil of flesh is still a veil of flesh. Yes, that veil of flesh is going to die and go to the grave. But that veil of flesh is under a new leadership with a new soul and is a new creature. Everything about you is different. You recognize who you are. That's what's happening. You've recognized who you are. You're not this 16 elements of the earth. That's not you. That's a temporary position for that attribute of God to be manifested. It's temporary. And so, I'm just going to skim the surface a little bit. It's a very deep subject. You can preach throughout eternity on this. And the fact that Brother Branham said that God will continue to reveal Himself throughout eternity. And you think about how much we have in this day. Look at what we have. How great that is. We can't even fathom what we have in our hands yet. And He's going to do it through eternity. I know it looks like I got a lot of pages. I'm like Brother Don. I don't know what's going to happen. We come up here and we try our best to surrender to God, and it could be 15 minutes, it could be 15 hours. So I'm not going to promise anything. It's very, very important, very serious matter to stand here and to minister the word. People are staking their eternal salvation on what's coming from these pulpits in these days. And I'm not picking on anybody, but I do know that there's a lot of ministers out there, there's a lot of preachers out there that are not preaching revelation. Now, God can give you a revelation. God can give me a revelation on something. I won't pick a subject, but we'll just say a subject. He can give me a revelation on a subject, and it's going to line up with the word. Every quote is going to line up with it. Now, I can't take that revelation that he gave me and then come give it to you. I can't do that. I can tell you what he showed me. I can pull the message, and I can minister what he showed me. But that's not me giving you the revelation. Right. What's got to happen is you're going to take that message and you're going to go to your prayer closet and you're going to pray for revelation. That's what's going to happen. And when God gives you that revelation, me and you are going to have the same revelation. He doesn't give one revelation to Brother Don, give another revelation to Brother Benjamin, and give another revelation to Brother Michael, and have three different ideas. God don't work that way.
Amen.
Now, he can give Brother Don a revelation on a subject, and it can be deep. With me, he might need to bring me a little bit slower. I might only see part of what he's saying. But if I'm a child of God, he's going to bring me to that revelation. Not just because Brother Don preached it, and not just because of his comments or whatever, or whoever the preacher is. I don't mean to call out Brother Don. But he's going to bring you to that revelation. And he's going to give you exactly what you need to call for your body change. He's already given that. You're already bride. You're already that. You've already been united to him. We're not waiting for that to happen. That has happened. Okay, we're going to start off. And really, I can read the first three or four quotes and I can quit. And that's what I want to do. You know, I got to thinking today, I was like, man, how do some, and not that I want to be, but I'm just, you know, thinking the nervousness and the jitters and everything that comes with this, and thinking, how can I say this in 15 minutes and let's go? And so, you can talk to your flesh is dead in the ground. That's how great he is. You can take every minute of your life and praise him and talk about what he's done. And if you never said nothing else, if you never talked about another subject, you could talk until your tongue fell out and you wouldn't scratch the surface. So in a message, the anointed ones at the end time, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. That's not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God.
Amen.
Faith is the revelation, is the will of God. You want to know the will of God? You got to have a revelation. You can't just take the law of the message, if you want to call it that, and say that's the will of God. You've got to wait till God gives you the revelation. And when he shows you the revelation, that's the will. It's the revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By revelation, Abraham had a son. By revelation, by revelation, they moved in the will of God. By revelation.
Amen.
And so does the bride today. So does the bride move in the revelation. So does the bride today live. That's how she lives. And y'all have the quotes. I might not call every message. It's there. And the revelation is the only thing. And the revelation is the only thing. The revelation of the word. What is revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this revelation. So let me tell you what that's saying. The gates of hell are going to come against this revelation, but they're not going to prevail. Once you start moving in the revelation, Satan's going to challenge you. He's going to test you. And he's not there to test and show God what you are. God already knows what you are. That's why he gave you the revelation. He's there to prove to you who you are. The gates of hell won't prevail, but the gates of hell are going to come. This is not easy. This is not a walk that you can do. This is not a battle that you can fight. This is not something that we as human beings do on our own. Yes, you can live a consecrated life. Yes, you can. My wife probably has the longest hair in the room right now. That doesn't mean one thing. She can wear dresses to the floor. She can be such a dedicated woman. That doesn't mean nothing. It's revelation. She knows she's my wife, not because of the way she dresses. Not because of the way because she just happens to be hanging out at the same address I do. She's my wife because we're in a union. Amen. You're his wife because you're in a union with him. He didn't marry everybody in the world. He just married his bride. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by revelation, faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Now, it is a revelation. For revelation is faith. You cannot have revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. And I'm just reading the quote. He's repeating this. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that he could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it was not. As though it wasn't so. I want to read that correctly. As though it wasn't so. Now, Abraham could call anything contrary. Listen to the letter first. Listen to what I'm saying. And then watch. Get the revelation. Abraham could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him. Now, does that say Abraham called anything that was not his revelation contrary? No. It says what had been revealed to him. He wasn't operating on his revelation. It was what was revealed to him. That's what he was operating on. It superseded his mind. Amen. At one point, it started taking over his physical being and started changing him. Amen. It did Sarah too. As though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is a revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the entire Bible. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. What is the new birth? Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. What a great mystery that is. And that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all these groups together? where the revelation is perfectly in harmony, and God expressing it through His Word. Look at that. God is expressing it. Not Michael Paul. Michael Paul can't express the revelation. In harmony, and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. And how does He interpret His Word? By bringing it to pass, by manifesting it. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, and then the rapture will go when it knows it. Now, notice. I just copied it straight out of the table. There's a Church Age book quote there, but it was split, so I just copied it. But you can go read the whole quote there. We now come to a conclusion, such conclusion as we have already found in the Word, as much as we believe in trying to find the oldest and the best manuscripts to get the best record of the Word possible. They're talking about the Bible. They've done all these studies. They talked to all these historians. They looked at all the transcripts. They pulled all the scrolls that they could find that wasn't destroyed. They wanted the most accurate writings that they could transcribe. They wanted it. The best record of the Word possible. We will never get the true meaning of it by study and comparison of the Scripture. As sincere as we may be, in wanting, how does he say it? To study in comparison of the Scripture. All day today, I was going through the message. I was pulling quotes. I was looking at scriptures. I was trying to put this one together and trying to, or not me. I was trying to follow the leading as much as I could. But if what I've put together is not a living revelation in me, it didn't do no good. Sincere as it may be, it will take a revelation from God to bring it out. I didn't capitalize that. That's in the Church Age book. It will take a revelation from God to bring it out. That's exactly what Paul said. Which things we also speak, not in words. So listen to what's going on here. It's not in knowing the letter. It's not in being able to quote the quotes. It's not being able to quote the scriptures and be able to be a great speaker. And that's fine in its place. It has its place. That's fine. I want what I'm trying to get to you. It's not in knowing the letter of the Word. Amen. It is in the revelation of what lies in the Word, in the letter. Sorry, I lose my place. Which things we also speak not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. So it's not if I can get up here and talk about and flatter you with words, and like Paul say, come to you with excellency of words. I don't have that. My wife and Sister Katrina are known respectfully and endearingly as the vocabulary queens. They have words. They can talk about words. They can say the big words. They can put it all together and just make it. They just have that gift. They've done a lot of reading. They have a vast vocabulary. And we've all played the little game of Scrabble. And it's going to be hard to beat either one of those. Because they have a good vocabulary. It's because they know the definitions of those words. They know how to use those words. They know how to build a structure. They know how to structure a sentence around them. They know how to structure a paragraph around them. They have that. Me, I don't have that. In my line of work, there are times where I have to get up in front of some pretty well-educated people. And I don't have an education. I don't have an education. And so in my prepping of the presentation or whatever I'm going to talk about, I start putting stuff together and I start adding words here and there. And my, one of my supervisors, not my current one, of them, he says, "You type like you talk." And I didn't know how to take that. He says, "You type like you talk." And I'm thinking, well, that means I'm saying in this exactly what I want to say. I'm to the point. I'm direct. They're going to get it. And he's like, you got to fluff it up. You got to use these big words. You got to make it sound like you're smart. And I'm saying, well, Mike, I'm not smart. I don't have this. So he said, well, let's, there's been a couple of times. He said, let's work on this. And I just slide the computer over to him. I was like, okay, you fix it. I'll slide it back over here. And he's done rewrote everything. And I'm like, I can't pronounce that word. And I can't pronounce that word. And so I'm struggling. I was like, if you want me to give this presentation, and very, I say this humbly, these people that are coming want something that I have. They want something that they don't know about that I know about. And they're coming to me and they're asking me questions. And you want me to deliver this message. I can't deliver it with excellency of speech. I don't have that. If you want what I have, all I can do is speak with what God has given me. And then I lay that before you, and then you take that. And you take it to the prayer closet, and you take it to the message, and you line it up. And then you wait on God to reveal it to you. I don't have excellency of speech. Amanda uses big words on me all the time. And I have to ask her, so what are you talking about? And so sometimes I'll learn a new word. And for me to learn a new word, when I learn it, and I finally figure out how to say the word, I have to, within myself or off by myself, I'll have to repeat the word to myself several times. And I just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And that's me trying to learn to say the word. And so there'll be times I'll be talking to her and that I've learned a new word somewhere. And I'll put it in a conversation or a sentence with it, and she'll just like, what? And she's like, that's not even the right word. You're not even saying it right. That definition of that word doesn't even line up with what you're saying. But here I am because I think, because I've heard a word from somebody that I think that I've learned, that I think that I've understood the definition of, based off the context of which I've heard it, it's got to mean this. So then I begin to apply my no logic, no knowledge. I begin to apply it to this word. And then I think I'm going to use this word. And then when I do use this word, when I try to use this word, I make an effort to use this word. 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10, it's wrong. And she's just, she'll get a little laugh at me. She's laughing at me now, but she'll get a little jab in, and she's like, no, that's not even the right word. And she'll tell me the right word, and you know. But now there are times, or there are times, that I will learn a new word, that I'll wait on knowing how to say it, learning how to say it. I'll wait on the true definition of it. I'll wait on how to use it. And I just store that in my little bitty brain. And then there'll be an off chance that I won't even be trying to have a conversation, and this word will fall out of my mouth into this conversation. And it's just, It's accident. But what I want you to get is, because I waited to learn the word. I waited to learn how to say it. I waited on learning the definition of it. I waited. And then I just stored it. And then one day it falls out somewhere in a conversation. And it's not me trying, so I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not trying to impress the wife, the the vocabulary queen. I'm not trying to do any of that. It just comes out. And I'll catch her sometimes out of my peripheral. I'll look at her, and she'll just be smiling. You did good. That's exactly right. That's a good word. You did good. That doesn't happen a lot. And I'm not trying to be funny, but what I'm trying to get to you is there's a difference in when I try to take a word and I apply my understanding and my lack of knowledge and my lack of vocabulary to something. And there's a difference in when I wait and learn what the word really means. And then it just comes. I don't have to produce it. It just comes because I know it. That's the same way the word is. You don't learn it with excellently a speech. You don't learn it because you can read good. You don't learn it because you can spell good. You don't learn it because you can quote sonnets and do all this and ballads and all this stuff. That's not it. It's when you went and you've waited on the revelation of it, and then it just comes. You don't have to produce it. It just comes. It's not a work that you work up. It just comes. It's God living through you. And you say, well, we got to say exactly what he says. You do have to say exactly what he said. You better say exactly what he said. And when God gives you the revelation of exactly what he said, it's going to line up with exactly with what he said. He's not going to contradict himself. But I can write a note and address it to this whole group of people. Brother Don's going to get a message out of it, a meaning out of it. Sister Rhonda's going to get a different meaning out of it. Emily's going to get a different meaning out of it. And my wife's going to get a different meaning out of it. It means differently. I can write a note talking about all this stuff that we're doing and I'm doing and never say that I love you. So yeah, sweetie, I'm away at work. I've been working hard all day. Staying up late at night, I'm trying to fix the yard, I'm trying to do this, I'm hauling trash, I'm doing all this. And never say I love you. And when she reads that note, she's reading into all of my actions that I love her. And I never said it. Why? There's a relationship there. There's an unspoken relationship, an unseen relationship that's taking place right there. There'll come a day when they'll say, did not I preach this message? Did I not say exactly what you said? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? Did I? And he's going to say, I never knew you. Why? Because I is still in there. Those priests back in those days lived a life that you couldn't put a finger on. Can you imagine that? Those priests was living a life, the law. If you've ever read the law of Moses, the law, those men lived a life that you couldn't put your finger on. That's a compliment. There's nobody today that could live the law of Moses. There's not one person that could live the law of Moses in their flesh. But now, there are people that can live a consecrated life. They go to church every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday. They do everything that they're supposed to do. And they said, didn't I do this? I said, no, this quote right here, I read it verbatim. Was he living it or was you living it? There are people that can live a consecrated life. There are people that are under such conviction and they not know God. And that's sad to say. No matter how much education you've got, how much culture you are able to accumulate, you've got to face death because it's written that man must die, and after that, the judgment. And God, when death is not so bad, but coming to the judgment, that's the bad part. You can die, but after the judgment, God is not going to inquire how much schooling you got when you were here on earth, how much knowledge you accumulated, whether you got a bachelor's of art, whether you got a degree, might have even been, or degree, you might have even been, even a minister. Even a minister. You might even be a minister. It's not going to be required of you. But it's going to be required of you what you did about the understanding of God's word. That's where the requirement comes. When the revelation comes, what'd you do with it? Because that your education's fine, but the word of God is life. My word is life. And to know it is life. You've got to know it for it to be life. He said, know him. He's the word. So you can only know him by the word, for he is the word. That's the only way you'll know him is by the word. Someone could say, this is God, that's God, this is God, or this is right and that's right. But we come back to the word, which is the truth. The word is the North Star. It's a true star. No matter which way the world is float, the North Star is the center of the earth. You set your compass to the North Star. It's always the center of the earth. Other stars float around the world, but the North Star stays stable. Now, the compass is the Holy Spirit, and your tie post would be the North Star, so the Holy Spirit will always point you towards the Word. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to anything else but the Word of God. He's not going to lead you to Michael Paul's understanding of the Word. He's not going to send you to Michael Paul's idea of what he thinks the Word might be saying. That's not the Holy Spirit. So how could a man accept a creed when it's contrary to the word and then still say and then still say he has the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost would point you away from that. It takes the Holy Spirit to point you to the word, for he is the word. He is the word, and it can only, as a magnet to the compass, is the only set to the North Star. That's the only way it can draw. And when the Holy Spirit... Listen to this. And when the Holy Spirit is the author and the writer, here it is, right here. Listen. The Holy Spirit is the author, he is the writer, and the quickener of the word. Amen. What did Brother Don read a while ago? It brings it to life. How can it point the person to anything else but the word? It's the quickener of the word. And I only got part of what he read there, but I heard part of it, and this is right in line with what he was reading. So when the person say they have the Holy Ghost and accept something contrary to the word, it shows it ain't the genuine Holy Ghost they've got. It may be a ghost. I won't dispute that. There is a lot of people that's got a ghost. A spirit. There's a lot of people. But it isn't the Holy Ghost of Christ. Now, you know, many times they take one another's spirits. And so that might point in like a group of men to a certain thing. It won't point to Christ. But the Holy Spirit always points to Christ. Christ is the Word. We've still got them. They so easily be reasoned away from the Word of God. after sitting in the presence of God. So you've got these people that's got a ghost, they've got some type of understanding, and they're sitting in the presence of God. They're there. God is manifesting all around them. They see it. They don't understand it. They question it. That's okay. But are you questioning it the right way? After sitting in the presence of God, seeing the Word of God preached, the Word of God made manifest. So he added to that a little bit. You know, it might just be good to go to church on Sunday morning and hear the preacher, or Wednesday night to hear the preacher, or on special Easter services and hear the preacher. No, he took it one step further. He took it one step forward. The Word of God made manifest. Drunkards and sinners come to the altar and be converted and made new creatures in Christ. People of ill fame made ladies and gentlemen, and then turn from that blessed thing that led them to this life, and then be perverted off of some kind of creed to become more popular or get in with a better class of people. You know, we want to be the shiny new church. We want the big shiny preachers. We want the big shiny everything. You know, today is Good Friday, and or as close to we think history is. This is the day that we've set aside for that, at least. It's the day that God came in flesh, and he went to the tree, and he answered the sin question. He died to redeem us back. And somebody at work the other day was, I'm not going to place them, but some of the statements they made about religion and God and ignorant people and making fun of Christians, and they say, well, what was so good about this day? And I wanted, just to be honest, I wanted just to jerk that person up out of their seat and pin them in a corner and talk to them. I didn't want to physically hurt them. Don't get that. Although I was vexed, and I was vexed to hearing this language about my Savior, about this revelation. I was becoming vexed. And if you can sit and listen to that and you don't become vexed, you better check something. But you have to wait on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael Paul wanted to jerk him up out of his seat and go talk to him. Very humbly, I could have quoted scripture to him. I could have quoted the message to him. I could have blowed his mind. It would have done no good. But now when God moves on me, I say, hey, go talk to him. Not only will that happen within me, but it'll happen within him. God doesn't work on one side here. When he moves you some way, there's a reason he's moving you that way. You're not going to save everybody. If you can save everybody by the letter of the message, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow, and I'm going to start driving around America, and I'm going to start picking up people. I'm going to say, read this, say amen, and get in the truck. That's not how it works. Amen. That's not how it works. Sister Leanne came over today and was visiting with us a little bit, and we got to talking, and she got to talking along these same lines. And how we have loved ones and children, and you know. But we have to rest in the revelation of knowing that God is not going to lose a one of His. Sometimes that's hard. Why, you're in the best class that there is. Sons and daughters of God, well, I like to keep company better than I like the company better than I would like it with all the kings and potentates and everything else. God, give me that humble bunch of people that don't know their right hand from their left. As long as they know God and love Him and serve Him, that's the celebrity of heaven to me. So people's looking at, there's people going to show up at church for the first time this year, this weekend. And they're not going to show up till Christmas. They may show up at Thanksgiving. And don't let me go too long. Just like a baby, you take a little baby and let him be born. Let him once lean upon his mother's bosom and nurse from her the warm milk. Lean his little head on her bosom, though it's been just a few hours old. In a day or two from then, take him away from his mother and give him over to the breast of a strange mother. He'll kick them little feet up in the air and he'll yell. It's not his mother. Just a few days, few hours old, few days old. And he already knows who his mama is. See, he's already had something about him because he's part of this mother. Yet nature has provided him a way to know his own mama. He can't see her. It's the best that we understand. He might be able to feel her. Physically, he feels her. He feels her. But I forget, it's a while before a baby's eyes even start to focus. And then it's even longer before they start associating faces and recognize, oh, this is Amanda, this is Don, this is this. It's even longer. And if nature has provided a way for a baby to know its mother, from where it's born from, how much more has he, a son of God that's born of the Spirit of God, he knows his mama. He knows because he was born of the Word. And he understands the Word. Put him in a strange place. He certainly is out of place. He'll get out of there as quick as he can. Because he doesn't lean. Say somebody, no, wait, dear, this is your mama. You think about that little chick, that little eagle in the chicken yard? Wonder how many of them hens were running around and said, I'm your mama, I'm your mama, I'm your mama. I'm big and I'm fluffy and I got all the pretty feathers. But that eagle's like, no. There's just something wrong. He kicked his little feet up and he began to scream. And he began to search. There was something in him that was driving him. Saying, this is not right. I'm looking for what's right. This is not right. The barnyard's not right. It's not his mama because he has a way of knowing that he's a part of his mother. That's his mother. No one else can take her place. He knows his own mother. Notice how it really is so. God made everything after its kind. And I was looking back on the note that I wrote down and I passed it and just happened to see the scripture reading. Thought I'd refer back to it. Notice how his own predestinated sheep followed him, right in the days of the greatest theologian that we ever had. Here Jesus comes on the scene in a day with some of the greatest theologians that the earth has ever seen. Had ever seen. Amen. Jesus is born right in the middle of it. How great their words were. How great their sermons were. How great the gatherings was. How great church was. How great they looked in the suits. How great the congregation looked. How pretty the temple looked. Look at all that. Who wouldn't want that? They come right out because they knew him. Because they knew him, they come right out. Now I want you to think for a second. Think about scripture and prophecy. And I want you to tell me the prophecy that prophesied that Jesus, that a virgin was going to conceive, I want you to tell me in the scripture where it says Mary was going to be it. Show me one scripture where Mary was going to be the one. Never calls her name one time. The scripture never says Mary of Nazareth, the virgin Mary of Nazareth, is going to be the one. It says a virgin shall conceive. He will be known as Emmanuel. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now you think when that prophecy went forth, every, and I can imagine, this is just you forgive me, I'm going to talk about a little story. I'm going to imagine every girl that was born to a family. In a time when maybe girls wasn't the preferred gender, for lack of a better word, they wanted boys. Everybody wanted the male. The male was in the position. And some of those countries are still that way today. They'd rather have a boy than a daughter. And I can tell you, in the kingdom of God, they are equal. There are no difference. One is just as great as the other. But you can imagine these families. Every time a little girl was born, she's going to be the one. Yep, there's the prophecy now. She's going to be the one. We're going to take care of her. We're going to just, oh, so. We're going to fuss over her. We're going to wait. This is going to be, she's going to be the one. She grew up. She married. Went on. Possibly the priest had young daughters, the big priests and the big families and the big churches and the big everything. They said, no, it's my daughter. I'm the biggest preacher. I got the biggest congregation. I got the fanciest temple. Yeah. I can say the fancy words. I can do this. I can do that. No, if the Messiah, if the Savior of the world is going to come, it's going to come to me. It's going to come to my daughter. She grew up. She got married. She went away. Daughter after daughter after daughter after daughter for what, 800 years? And the whole time, the true believers were absolutely, is it going to be my daughter? They didn't force it. They waited. And then so on and so on. And then one day, Mary come on the scene. And Mary began to grow. She became a woman. She was even espoused to Joseph. She wasn't married yet. They had not become husband and wife yet. She was espoused. And Mary, I'm sure, she heard that prophecy her whole life. She went to church every Saturday. It was the Sabbath. Sabbath, every Saturday. She talked to the priest. She talked to the woman's group. I'm sure she had all kinds of things. And she, no doubt, as a young girl wondering when she heard that prophecy, you know, am I going to be the one? And then, no doubt, when she became a spouse to Joseph, maybe that started weaning away a little bit. I don't know. This is Michael. This is just Michael. Just keep it right there. But when that angel came to her and said, "Blessed art thou among women," it stirred her up. What manner of greeting is this? Something stirred her. And he began to tell her what was going to happen. And she didn't question it out of doubt. She questioned out of submission. Unto your how she say it? She's like, "Unto me thy word be done." But how's it going to be done, Lord? What? How's it going to be done? Well, you're going to have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. She could have jumped up and said, no. I got it. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. This is, you know, I'm going to go get rid of Joseph. So just to make sure everybody knows. No, it's not what she did. Why? Because when that prophecy was spoken 800, 700 years previously, in the mind of God, he seen Mary. He didn't see Amanda. He didn't see Rebecca. He didn't see Leah. He didn't see Rachel. He didn't see none of them. He saw Mary. And then when he began to speak to her, something on the inside of her knew it was real. It became life to her. She began to move in that revelation. Amen. She began to act in that revelation. The Spirit told her that not only you are going to have a child. She was the only one with a virgin. But no, Elizabeth, who was well in age, never had a son. I've given her a son too. He's going to forerun your son. So when Mary left and went to see, she already knew. She already knew Elizabeth was pregnant before Elizabeth said. The angel told her. Said, "No, your Elizabeth has come down." But what I want you to see is she began to move. She began to live. She yielded herself to the revelation and she began to live. Or he began to live out there. She couldn't manifest a son of her own. She knew what it was to what for a man and a woman, to, what it took to have a baby, for a woman to become pregnant. She understood that. She was of that age. She was espoused. She didn't begin to tell God how he was going to do it. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. And Andrew tried to tell him about, hold on. Okay. They knew what the word had promised for that day. They'd known what the Messiah was going to be like. And when he came to Simon Peter, or Peter came to him, which was Simon then, do y'all know when the name of Jesus was first mentioned in the Bible? I didn't. I had to look that up. I'm not bragging. The name of Jesus was first mentioned in the Bible, Matthew 1:21, when he was talking, when the angel was talking to Joseph to tell him not to be afraid to be with him. That's when the name of Jesus was first mentioned in the Bible. Nowhere in all the lifetime of these apostles and these the children of Israel and listening to the priest preach did they say, "Hey, there's a man named Jesus that's coming. And that's you're going to know him by his name." Doesn't do that. They knowed what the Messiah was to be like when he came. And Andrew had tried to tell him, this man is the Messiah. Well, Simon, of course, he maybe was a little hard-headed. He wouldn't go. But when he walked into the presence of Jesus, when Jesus said, your name is Simon, and you are the son of Jonas. What's the sign of the Messiah? That he'll know the intents of your heart. That he'll know you. Without you speaking, he'll know you. Now we know Jesus told his apostles that he'd know them before the foundation of the world, that they were attributes of his thoughts. Therefore, being that seed laying in him, he knew that the word said and had promised that Messiah would be a prophet. And when he had sent him, he was through with his fishing. He knew that he would drop his nets because he was going to become a fisher of men. Backing up a little bit. Therefore, being seed. Now, going back and talking about understanding words and when I say the word seed, what image comes to your mind? None of you in this room thought of a piece of wheat or a piece of corn. You thought of yourself. You thought of the bride. That's the seed that you thought of. So you see, it's not just in knowing the letter. It's just not knowing a word that starts with the 16th letter of the alphabet, followed up by the 4th and 5th letter of the alphabet. It's because you know when he says seed, you know who he's talking about. Why? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. You don't start creating images. When he starts talking, you don't start creating images of way out yonders and nothings. You start seeing revelation happen. Now, there stood others standing there who seen the same thing done and classed it as an evil spirit. They wasn't seed. That was the theologians, because it wasn't in the taste of their theological teaching. And they just turned it down because they learned to lean on their own understanding by their doctors. When Jesus Christ came into fulfillment of the word of promise, when Jesus Christ came in the fulfillment, the manifestation, the revelation of the word of the promise, they were too blind to see it. They leaned upon what the priest said, upon what the church said, instead of what God said. Now, Jesus rebuked them for that. He said, search the scripture, for in them they, you claim to have everlasting life, and they are they that testify of me. Now, does anybody know what that scripture really says? Can you remember? I know you know. I'm sorry. I don't mean to challenge. I know you know. The scripture says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. I just made note of that when I was reading it, that why did he say everlasting life there? We've been learning the difference, what I'm talking about. We've been learning the difference between everlasting and eternal. We know those differences. But they wouldn't lean to that word, what the word said. They leaned to what their understanding was. They leaned to their own understanding. The scripture tells us that they were veiled. Veiled of their own theology had them blinded. Yes, Brother Branham. What are you getting at? What are you getting at, Brother Branham? I'm getting to this. That thing is occurring again. Amen. What thing? That they lean to their own understanding. They begin to take the letter of the message, and in their own understanding of the Webster Dictionary and the thesauruses and all these other things, They begin to take the message and they begin to put definitions to what the message says because they're smart. That thing is occurring again. How many times did the prophet correct the scripture? It wasn't translated right. How many times did he correct it? How many times did he change a word? A prophet is the divine interpreter of the word. Till men and women and people will lean to a certain church that they have joined and belong to, no matter what the Word of God says about it. They go right on with that, leaning to their own understanding and ignoring the Word of God as if it hadn't never even been written. It's ungermatized seed of human life. It's got a physical life, but no spiritual life in it to be quickened. It doesn't have any spiritual life in it to be quickened. So, you have to have spiritual life, and it has to be quickened. The veil was over their face. Now notice, they had their own thoughts of what God should be. They had their own ideas of what the Messiah should be. But the Word said what the Messiah should be. Now see, they had their own understandings of what he would be. Note, no doubt but what the high priest said. All my priests under me, now when the Messiah comes, we've built a great temple. We've done all this. The Bible said he'll quickly come to his temple. Look at them. They're quoting scripture. They know the letter of the scripture. You can take a needle and stick it in the scroll and measure the depth of that needle and they'll tell you the word that it stopped on. I don't know nobody that can do that. I know some pretty smart people. I know some people that's got some pretty good memories. And I still don't know nobody that can do that. What is it? That was a consecrated, dedicated life. Every day when they were born to the time that they could start to read and the time that they could start to speak, they put their children, those priests put their children in the temple. And that was their life. They didn't do nothing else. They dedicated, they were in that Levite order. Their whole life was to the priesthood. And that's, I wish I could do that. I wish I could take all the children and lock them away in a building, a nice building, give them quarters and food and feed them. And that all that they did was read the message, would read the Bible. They had 24 hours. I would divide it up. So many hours to praying, so many hours to the Bible, so many hours to the message, rinse, wash, and repeat every day. That's what I would do. That's what I'd want to do. I would want me to do that. I don't want to just do that to the children. I want to do that to everybody. I want everybody to do that. To do that and not have the revelation of all that work doesn't do nothing. Doesn't do nothing. I know preachers that can quote this. They don't need the quotes. They can lay the quotes down and they can quote the message to you. They can quote the Bible to you. And they'll come right up and skip over. You're thinking they're going to be right there. So here's something that I've said, and I'll just leave it there. They come right up. And they're going to read it, and they're going to have to say the revelation. Let me tell you something. They can read that and not know the revelation. By God's grace, I know the revelation. By God's grace, you know the revelation. They can come right up to it, can read it, and it not mean the same to them as it means to you. It doesn't mean the same thing to them. Why? They don't have. I'm not saying they're not going to get the revelation. I'm not putting nobody out. I can't put nobody out and I can't put nobody in. Heaven would be messed up if I was in control. It takes the revelation of what the prophet is saying. You say what he said, and then you take what he said and you wait on the revelation of what he said. If you don't know the revelation, wait until God gives you the revelation. We've built big, great temples. We've done all of this. And the Bible said he'll come quickly to his temple. And all these things. When he does, the Messiah will come right up here, recognize himself, and he'll recognize himself with us. And he'll say, I'm the Messiah. I've arrived. I'm the Messiah that you've been looking for. That's what they thought. Well, when he did come, he came in such a different way from what they thought. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. But his, dot, dot, dot. Is it okay if I say something right? Can I just put, but his knows him. His recognized him. His knew who he was. What if some hypocrite would have walked up there and said, I'm the Messiah, I'm Dr. So-and-so? They would have accepted it. Why? Because they didn't know him when he came. But when you come to a man that's born with a darkened birth behind him, no education of school, no education of any school he went to learn, no seminary, did he have no fellowship card? He was the interpretation of God's word made manifest. The works that I do tell you of who I am. If I do not the works that's promised I do, then believe me not. And could we not apply that to this day? Now listen, paragraph 70 is talking about Jesus Christ, a little over 2,000 years ago. Now, this is watch what he does here. And could we not apply that to this day? When the Holy Ghost comes and they want to apply some other age, when he comes in the action and the demonstration of his power of eternal life, the people want to call it wild fanaticism. They are leaning to their own understanding and not the word of the Lord. You know that's right. So who is he talking about that didn't have a fellowship card? Who is he talking about that didn't have an education? Who is he talking about that was God manifested in flesh again? Could we not apply that to this day? Here I just spoke of Christ. Now, can we not apply that to this day? People fail to recognize what has taken place. The identification that God's own interpretation is the manifestation of the promise. Maybe I'll make it a little plainer. He's going to break it down for you. When God speaks the word, he doesn't need any man or woman or no one else. Now let's talk about that. God doesn't need a man or a woman or anyone else. And I thought the man and woman covered everybody. Who is this and no one else? It's a spirit. It is a spirit. It's Satan. He doesn't need Satan to put his interpretation to his word neither. When he said, well, you said God meant this. God meant that. God means just what he says he means. Now, how does he interpret his own word? By fulfilling it. The Bible said a virgin shall conceive. That doesn't need an interpretation. Why? What happened? A virgin conceived. He said, let there be light, and there was. That don't need an interpretation. Why? Because there was light. Y'all bear with me. I promise I've just got just a few more, and we'll let you go. I'm not going to read all these. I do want you to read that last little story. I thought it was pretty good, but here, we'll continue on. There you are, see? You lean to someone else's their understanding instead of leaning to God's understanding by what God said about it. That's the reason it's wrong. Boys go off to seminaries who has a good education, all to these Bible schools, so-called, and maybe they got a call of God in their hearts. And they get out there, and they're so indoctrinated with one view, so-and-so, and Bishop so-and-so, and this, that, and this one said that, and that one said it, and the Council of Men agreed, and this is the way it should be. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Matter who it is, mine be the truth. Now listen to this, I think it's just one sentence quote. One sentence, listen. Now how do we know what's truth? When the Bible declares that something will happen, that something is going to take place, period. That's not the end of that sentence, is it? That's not the end of it. That's good. The Bible declares it. Something's going to take place. That's good. When the Bible declares that something will happen, that something is going to take place, and it happens that way. How many ideas do we have about the rapture? How many ideas do we have about the soul change? How many ideas do we have about justification? How many ideas do we have about water baptism, the foot washing, and all the ordinances of the church ages and the church ages themselves? How many ideas are coming around that? He said the church ages would happen, was over. Did it happen? It happened. He said all that was dead and you can't bring it over. Did it happen? It happened.
Amen.
Now notice, God making himself known is not we're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by a government, but by the revelation. Christ in you, as God was in Christ, as God is in Christ, Christ in you, and what God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God do in Christ? Christ does in you. Jesus come on the scene, totally submissive to his Father. He didn't do nothing without the Father first showing him. It's not whether he healed 800 people, 8 people, 2 people. It's not whether he raised dead of thousands of people. It's not a matter if he fed 5,000. The message is what God did in Christ, Christ is going to do in you. And Jesus said, at that day, and that's this day, at that day, when the revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father. When that revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father. The Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Sounds like we're all one. When the revelation is made manifest. At that day you shall know that I and the Father are one. I am in the Father is in me. And when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you and you in me. There you are, see? See the manifold of three, what for? To bring back, we've got to be, ... As Jesus was the Word of God, he vindicated the same. Jesus wasn't a great theologian. He was a common peasant or carpenter's son, so-called. See, he walked around, but God said, some of you show me, he said, but some of you show me what the Bible says that I will do that I haven't manifested. So he didn't say, show me what I haven't preached. He didn't say, show me what I haven't talked to you about, what I haven't this, that, or the other about. He said, show me what the Bible says that I will do, meaning a life lived, that I haven't manifested. Show it to me. So the church can do the same thing today. What Christ did, so does the church do now. The day that you will know that I am in the Father in me, and the Father is in me, and I in you, and you in me. There you go, marching to Zion, the kingdom. At that day, you will know that I am in you. Skip it over to paragraph 455. And as the Father had sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, see, what? Now watch. The Father sent him, went in him, to vindicate himself right. For he was the Word. The same Jesus that sends you goes with you. I've prepared the way. I've raised up a standard. I've raised up a mighty banner. He's done that before you. He's already prepared the way for you. He's already got the answers for you out there. And now he's going to send you out there. The same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. To vindicate the same God. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so I send you, and you live by me. What is he? He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, I'd like to take a text on that and preach now for a couple of hours. Notice, and the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends, Jesus that sends us, goes in us. A little while and the world won't see me no more. Yet you shall see me. For I, a personal pronoun, I, the person, Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done. Now you're not going to go die on a cross. That was for him to manifest today, a little over 2,000 years ago. You couldn't do that. You're not born of a virgin. That prophecy doesn't apply to you. But let me tell you what applies to you. You are born of the virgin word. You are born of the virgin word. You are virtuous word seed bride. Amen. That's what you're going to live. That's what God's going to manifest in you. Amen. You're not going to lean to your own understanding. You're not going to put your interpretation to it. You're not just going to go by the letter of the message. I love this message. If I had to do away with every piece of literature on the face of the earth, I would save the message. I would. You say, what about the Bible? I would do my best. But you don't know that black Bible. You don't know that holy Bible without Brother Branham's message. You don't know it. It's just another book. Brother Branham said when he was born again, it became a new book. He thought he knew it. From a little young boy, he read the Bible. He'd been in church. But when he got born again, it became a new book. Skipping down to paragraph 87. Many people just taken the letter. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. And they take those creeds and so forth, still killeth. But when you're taking the Spirit, That's God himself. How do you know it's God? How do we know that it's God? How do we know that it's God? Listen, how do you know that it's God's Spirit? How do you know that it's God?
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time. How do you know it's God? This is how you're going to know. This is how you're going to know. Because he is taking the word and he's manifesting it. He's bringing the revelation. He's manifesting his life in veils of flesh. That's why the scripture says, know no man after the flesh. It says, know no woman after the flesh. The same, this means the same thing. You don't judge each other by your flesh. You want to judge that flesh? Is that flesh yielding itself to the life of Christ and manifesting the Word? If it is, good. If it's not, pray that God will move on the scene for it. You're not going to put nobody in. You're not going to put nobody out. This flesh is going to die. It's rotten. You're not going to save this flesh. This flesh is going to come under subjection to the Word. It's going to live the revelation. Again, you can have a consecrated life. You can live a somewhat, I'm not going to say it's holy because only God can be holy. You can live as close to holiness as you can. People do that. The priest did it. People do it today around the message. They do it. You can't touch their lives. You can't touch them. And not have the manifestation of the revelation of what he's saying.
Amen.
Of what he's saying. Because he's taken the word and manifesting it. See, then it's God himself. And I'm going to stop right there. Do you love him?
Amen.
Told you it was. He's good to us. I'm so thankful for the revelation. I guess I moved that. Did I move that? Sorry. I don't realize I moved it. The revelation. That's the important. That's life. Revelation is life. You're not going to find it in an almanac. You're not going to find it in your mind. You're not going to find it in a pretty word. You're not going to find it in a thesaurus. You're not going to find it in a dictionary. You're not going to find it being the Scrabble queen. You're going to find it when you take that word and you get in your prayer closet and you wait on God to reveal it. And when he does, life begins to happen. A life that has never happened before with you. You know, there's examples, but you begin to change. Everything about you, your language changes, your mind changes, your dress, everything changes about you, and it's something that you don't do in and of yourself as Michael Paul making a decision. Something on the inside pulls you. You don't know how. You don't. Just one day, it just starts happening. And then the word comes out. And you're not trying to put your definition to it. You're not trying to put it in a subject line. You're not trying to put it in a conversation. It just comes. The corn, when you plant it, it just grows. It doesn't try to make itself grow faster. It has a time from when the time you have a season to plant in, you have a season to harvest in. And between then, you're not going to make it happen any faster than Mother Nature or the law of God has it. You're not going to speed it up. Now, you may have two stalks here. This one might be a little bit taller. That's okay. They're both still corn. They're both still corn. They're both still going to get harvested. Let's stand. Do you love him? Brother Don, you want to dismiss us, or Brother Michael want to sing a song, or?
Say, be it unto me according to his word. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that.
Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Sets me
appreciate the message tonight, and we just thank God for His Word and for revelation. Amen. And you know, He is the author and the finisher.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to merit it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to make it happen for yourself or for anybody else. It is strictly given by God.
Amen.
And there's something that I wanted just to read a quote that Brother Michael read. This was in paragraph 240 on Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do? And this really struck me. What are you going to do? Because he talks some about all the differences and the arguing and the
Amen.
Debating and all of that's going on.
That's it.
And it's everywhere. It's Amen. Just everywhere. And the harder you try to get away from it, the more it is. And the more it is. But listen to this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get that group together where the revelation,
Amen.
Where the revelation is perfectly in harmony?
That's right.
Only God can make that happen.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, whether you look around and you see it, whether you look around and you can recognize it, God is fulfilling His word.
Yes, sir.
And it sometimes it don't look like it. But it's here.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere it's here.
Amen.
It's not out there somewhere. Somewhere
yep.
it's here because God is fulfilling the promise of this day.
Right.
And so God help us to die.
Yes.
Brother Branham said what we need is a humbling.
Yes, sir.
We need a humbling.
Amen.
We need to humble ourselves. Or either we need God to humble us.
Amen.
And help us to die some more.
Yes, sir.
And it'll cut it out. It'll cut it out, and it will bring us into that place. And how many times he said, what is it? It's the manifestation.
Yes.
It's the manifestation of that hour, of that day, of that time. And it's happening.
Amen.
It's just happening. And I thank God. And I think our brother talked about that love letter. And only you can read that love letter.
Amen.
Between you and your wife. Only you can say, and she can decipher exactly what you're saying.
Amen.
You can decipher exactly what she's saying. When you have that relationship, you can do that.
That's
and when you come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's a love letter.
Amen.
It's a love letter, and you're going to, Brother Branham said, I'm going to say what he said. It's between the lines.
That's right.
And the quoting is good. Saying exactly what he said is good. All of that's good. But the revelation is between the lines.
Yes, sir.
And God is going to have to reveal it.
Yep.
Because I've thought about many times, Paul said, though I understand every mystery,
yes, sir.
Every mystery. And Brother Branham said, you can never have a true spiritual revelation without the new birth. Without the new birth, you can never have a true spiritual revelation.
That's right.
And Paul said, you can understand all the mysteries and still be lost.
Yes,
Brother Branham said the same thing. Brother Branham said, we should pray for revelation more than anything else. Of all the things you pray for, you should pray for revelation more than anything.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for revelation. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the promise of this day and the manifestation of this hour. And Lord, we know that we are the most blessed people on all the earth, Lord. We're not talking about this group. We're talking about your bride who is in every nation and speaks every tongue and of every kindred, Lord. She's made up of every nation and tongue and kindred. We're thankful to be identified with that tonight. We're thankful to be a part of that tonight, Lord, that you have called your bride in this last day. Lord, that redemption is finished. That work is over and it's done, and there's no more of it. And there's no more. We're not preaching that now. Lord, you are revealing yourself. You are speaking to your wife. You, that love affair, Lord, that spiritual relationship is taking place. And it's, Brother Branham said, the womb is closed. She's been impregnated by the word, by the spirit. And Lord, it's bringing forth the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the living word, in the bride today. Father, help us to die some more. Help us to die, Lord, and that word completely take over in all things, all of our thoughts, all of our actions, everything that we do, and everything that we say. May you bless each one that's here, Lord. Bless each one that would hear these words. Lord, may you just give traveling mercy to those that are coming in, that you would be with them. And Lord, let us gather again tomorrow night. Lord, as Brother Gumbo would be ministering, Lord, that you would just anoint him afresh. And Lord, anoint every heart to receive. Lord, may you meet us here once again as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, each one. Thank you.